Go with me to John 3 verse 6. John 3 verse 6. I want to get the atmosphere right. So I don't want that piano sound. I want full strings or pads. Listen to this. Say this with me. Say, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Say with me. Say, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So there is a concept and there's a spiritual reality of being born in the spirit. Are you guys with me? Say with me, being born in the spirit. Being born of the spirit. Listen here. There are many Christians that sit in church and they are living blind lives. Please listen to me on this. Their eyes have not been opened, although they are saved. Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless you are born again, born of the Spirit, you cannot see the kingdom. Then he said, you cannot enter the kingdom. Play longer notes if you can. Like, not like that. Just one note at a time, shifting over to another note at a time. Please, thanks. So, he says, listen here, there's a concept born again, which comes from the phrase born of the Spirit. And it actually, in the original Greek, means born from above. Are you guys with me? Which means ministries can be born of the Spirit, or they can be born of the flesh. Born again there, in that scripture, many theologians argue over this and they say it means salvation. It does not mean salvation. It simply means to be able to enter the kingdom that is here on the earth. Are you guys with me? Salvation is a different issue. John chapter number 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever calls upon him might be saved. So John 3 verse 16 is totally different to John 3 verse 6. We're speaking of being born of the Spirit. And then John 3 verse 3, we're speaking of being born again. So being born again means that it is the baptism and the power of the Holy Spirit that rests on you. But not only that, that your eyes begin to open. You can see the kingdom. And the moment you have the ability to see the kingdom, you can enter the kingdom. Are you guys with me? Meaning, if once you can see the kingdom, you can enter the kingdom. It is spiritual sight, spiritual perception. Say with me, spiritual perception. So, let's start. Go with me to Genesis chapter number 28, verse 10. I want to get onto this concept or part two of born of the Spirit. And I want you to help me, brother. I'm not flowing with the music. Okay, so I just want really gentle, lower notes. Is lower right? Higher? Right. Lower is left. Yes. Just gentle like that. Just gentle. It's really like, that's why I wanted full strings or pads. But if this thing can't do it, it is okay. The other piano is in for a service, they said. But I'm sure every piano should be able to do it. But like that, that's just gentle like that. That'll be great, thanks. Because otherwise, it feels like I'm being pulled to all the things. Let's go to Genesis 28 verse 10. Listen to this. I want us to get into it. Born of the Spirit. We spoke last week about Ishmael and Isaac. How many of you remember that? Ishmael and Isaac. A lot of people, that's better, thanks. A lot of people have Ishmael and Isaac ministries. They have Ishmael ministries and not Isaac ministries, or they live Ishmael lives, always striving, always toiling. And I said our strife and toil is a curse. Hard work is a blessing. Toil is a curse. When you're toiling at the sweat of your brow for nothing, it's a curse. And you can't blame it. The more you blame somebody else for it, the less it will lift from you. A curse can only be lifted once I take personal responsibility on my life. And I find out, but God, why is this curse here that I'm toiling like this? From whence has this come into my family? Where has it entered into my family? And I come before your courts. I repent on their behalf. And you have to begin to spend time with God that He can reveal to you, this is where it has entered. Then once you begin to get into the Word, and you begin to get into prayer, and you begin to get into fasting, and you grow your relationship with God, light begins to enter you. When light begins to enter, money finds its way easier to you. Money is attracted to light. Angels are attracted to light. Are you guys with me? Angels appear to those who carry light. There are two types or two appearances of angels. Or let me change the wording. Two intentions of angelic appearance to a person. The first intention is to come with a message from God, from His throne room. That is sovereign, elected by God, nothing you can do about it. And an angel will be sent from His throne room to tell you a message. For example, when the angel told me to plant the church encounter, I couldn't have prayed or fasted for it, nothing. It was elected by God for that to happen. But then the Bible says that we can entertain angels unwittingly and unknowingly. Which means that angels can come and just appear to you, whether in human form like a traveler, like a stranger, or in the form of light, like a being, a supernatural being. But they can come to you with no purpose, just coming to you to see how you will handle them. Are you guys with me? And when we begin to preach on the acquaintance of your angel and so on. That is not for a public service like this. That is more for our partners and the prophetic retreat we are doing. And I want to say this, that our partners have really been growing very fast. We got a private network called Mighty Networks. And it is available and open for everybody. But then there's a wall that locks all our stuff behind, like all the partner material resources. And we put a lot of business stuff on there. But it's an amazing platform. It's like social media. It's like Facebook, but it's totally private. We live stream to it. It's called Mighty Networks. But it's just something that the Lord spoke to me that is happening with the future. And we're doing everything to cater our church, to change it that we can reach people in the physical, but also reach people in online and international. The globe became a village from 2020. 2020 had to happen to digitalize the church and to bring the digital age into place so that the book of Revelation can come to pass. Are you guys with me? So let's go to Genesis 28 verse 10. So angels can appear to you in very different ways, but let's go to Genesis 28 verse 10. Let me see. Yeah. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went towards Haran, and he lit up a certain place. He came upon a certain place and tarried there all night. So if he tarried, when you are born of the Spirit, it requires you to be tarrying for seasons of night and seasons of difficulty, where you will tarry and pray and wait and struggle with God until there is a born again experience that takes place. Please listen to me on this one. When I'm speaking of born again experience, I am not speaking of salvation. Are you guys with me? There are two schools of thought. The one is salvation, and I'm not negating that. And the other one is that it is an extra experience that comes where your identity has changed. Like Jacob's name was changed from Jacob to Israel, which means he stepped right into the perfect will of God. He became born of the Spirit. Things from that moment began to fall into place for him. Are you guys with me? And tonight we're going to have more time to get into Revelation. We have a prophecy night tonight here in Centurion. So we're going to be ministering to you, prophesying as much as the Holy Spirit allows, and minister and pray for a lot of people, especially business and so on also. But listen to this. Genesis 2. So he tarried there all night because the sun was set, and he took the stone of that place and put them for his pillow and lay down in that place to sleep. When you become born of the Spirit, God will make sure that things begin to become uncomfortable. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God descending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord of God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. Now listen to this. He says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. The land wherein you lie, I will give it to you and thy seed. Please understand, he didn't yet say Jacob. He said, I'm the God of Abraham, your grandfather, Isaac, your father, but not you yet. Because he has not yet had a born-again experience. And I'm bringing now born-again into the old covenant. So for theologians, you're going to get messed up and whatever, okay? This is not for you. You think with your mind. We read the Bible with our spirit and with our heart. And we understand putting scripture incorrectly, scripture interpreting scripture, hermeneutically correct, which even though hermeneutically comes from a Greek god called Hermes, so we don't like that phrase. So a lot of preachers say, I hermeneutically announced or preached this message exegetically, hermeneutically. Hermeneutically comes from Hermes, the Greek god. Comes from a pagan worship. So now you want to form your message on basis of a page. No. Preaching must be spirit-led. Are you guys with me? I'm standing in front of you just with my Bible really here, and I'm going through verses, and what is in my spirit will come out. So he says, listen here. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, but not yet your God. Because number one, your name has not yet changed. And number two, you have not yet entered into the land that I promised you. Once you enter into the promise that God has for you, he will become a whole nother God. You'll have a whole higher revelation of him. All of a sudden, you'll be able to testify, to witness to others and say, but wait, this is the goodness of, this is what he has done in my life. This is what he has conquered in my life. This is the victory he has given to me in my life. Meaning I have to pursue God. I have to pursue for an encounter so that it can say God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Jacob, or God of Martin, God of Leon, or God of this. Why? So that God can be my God. Because there's a testimony and a witness to something I entered into. Are you guys understanding? What victory have you had with the Lord? Where he can say, now I am your God. Have your seats. Here we preach prophetically, so do not try to work me out. Are you guys with me? So with the land I will give you. So he says, and thy seed shall be, this is very important, the land I will give you, and to your seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east, and to the north and to the south, and to thee and thy seed shall the families on the earth be blessed. So he gives him a whole prophecy. And behold, I am with thee, and I'll keep thee in all places, where you go, and will you bring thee again into this, I'll bring you again into this land. For I will not leave you until I have done that which I have spoken to you. God is saying, if you have received a prophecy, if you have received a promise, I will not leave you until I have fulfilled that which I have spoken to you. Meaning you can hold God to it and say, God, your word says, you will not leave me until you have fulfilled. That is why it's important to get a word or to get a promise from the Lord. Without a promise, I cannot enter into a new dimension. My relationship with God becomes stagnant. But the moment I get a promise from God, I get faith that is renewed, because I need faith to enter into it. Are you guys with me? Have your seats. So I will not leave you until I've done what I've spoken to you. And he wakes up and he realizes God is in this place. Let's go to Genesis chapter number 29, verse 1. So I'm going to read quickly through this. I want to get to this story. I got about 30 minutes left to really bring this through to you. So now we see Jacob leaving this place and he's leaving this place and he's going towards his uncle Laban. And he gets into something that is happening there, where all of us know the story, that he saw Laban's daughter Rachel. He fell in love with her. He wanted her. He said, Uncle Laban asked him, how many wages do you want? He said, I only want your daughter. And he worked 7 years, and then his Uncle Laban gave him Leah, the ugly one, the ugly sister that nobody wanted. And you'll see what happens from there. But let me read from Genesis 29, verse 1. Does all our aircons work? Is it? Oh, it's hot. I'm sweating under these lights. Okay. Zerano. So listen. Genesis 29 verse 1. Then Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east. I'm going to read fast where I don't... not where the points we are not focusing on, but just for you to get the whole story. And he looked, and behold, a well in the field, and lo, there were three flocks of sheep lying it, for out that well they watered the flocks, and a great stone was upon the well's mouth. And thither with all the flocks gathered, and they rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the sheep, and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in his place. And Jacob said unto them, my brethren, whence be you? And they said, of Haran we come. Okay, and he said unto them, know you, do you know Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, yes, we know him. And he said unto them, is he well? And they said, he is well. And behold, Rachel, his daughter, is coming with the sheep. And he said, lo, it is yet high day, neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Listen to this. He said, it is yet high day, neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water the sheep and go feed them. And they said, we cannot until the flocks be gathered together, until they roll the stone from the well's mouth, when we water the sheep. I want you to remember this. And while yet spake with Rachel, while he yet spoke with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near, and rolled the stone from the well's mouth, and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Now, I want you to see something here, because there is a trick in scripture here. They were not supposed to roll the stone away. Are you guys with me? They were supposed to wait for all the flocks to gather before rolling the stone away. I need you to catch this. And I'm speaking from my spirit here. But tonight, we're going to go very deep when it comes to prophecy, when it comes to things of heaven that God spoke to me about to release to you tonight. Last week, Sunday evening, we had a great time in Krugersdorp. But when Jacob saw Rachel, you know, it was like, it's like Isaac. I preached a message. I said, Isaac went into the field and he meditated. It doesn't say he meditated on the word. It doesn't say he meditated in a Christian way. Also, it doesn't say he meditated in an Eastern way. It just says he meditated. So I was challenged by somebody, and I have a friend, and we're talking about a lot about these things. Then I was challenged by somebody else to say, you know, you preach on meditation, it is New Age. Okay? I accept that. But then Isaac was New Age. Because the Bible says he went out at night into the field and meditated. So we need to understand meditation has a balance, and nothing is originated from Satan. Nothing. Are you guys with me? Nothing is originated, so everything is perverted. So if Eastern religions or so on has meditation, it comes from somewhere. When Eastern religions have chi and the power of chi, it comes from somewhere. When God breathed lives into Adam and Eve, the Bible says that he breathed lives. The word lives is chi, where we get the word chi from, which is the force of life. He breathed into Adam. But Christians get so offended and gives the devil so much glory to think he originated. No. And then what we do is we limit God to say, you know, there's no falling over. That's a kundalini. Kundalini, shut up. And we analyze, I'll be so full of fear to begin. I'll fear God so much if I have to begin to analyze and criticize if a move of God is of Him or not. Because if it is of Him, I can get into trouble. Are you guys with me? So they were not supposed to move the stone away for the water to be from the well to water. But Jacob was so excited when he saw Rachel. It's like Isaac, when he meditated in the field, the Bible says he lifted up his eyes, which means he opened his spiritual eyes. Whenever the Bible says he lifted up, Abram lifted up his eyes, it's his spiritual eyes that opened. And the moment he lifted up his eyes, the Bible says he saw camels coming, which means that he saw his prosperity coming, which means that your spiritual eyes has to be open to see the prosperity and the plans that God has for you. But it opens when you understand the principle of meditation. What is meditation? I meditate on the word day and night, like King David said, like Joshua said, your law shall not depart from my mouth. I meditate in it day and night. I meditate in your precepts day and night, says David. But Isaac says, I meditated. So there's another part of meditation which we call the prayer of contemplation. It is the secret place. It is the place where you are alone with God and you sit and be quiet. You worship and you be quiet and you gaze upon the Lord. You just gaze upon Him. It's meditation. It is in that place when you look upon Him, you behold Him, you behold His glory. In this, that your eyes of the Spirit are being opened. Are you guys with me? The other night with our partners, evening, we shared on Angelology Part 2, and I gave them about 8 keys to open your spiritual eyes, because people's eyes need to be opened to understand angels. So yeah, they're rolling the stone away because Jacob wanted to go ahead of what God was doing. Are you guys with me? He got so excited when he saw Rachel, which was his desire, not God's desire. I want you to understand that. Rachel was his desire. And when he saw her, she was beautiful. She was favorable. He got so excited, he just watered the flocks. Okay? But he went ahead of himself. And in ministry, many people go ahead of themselves. They do not go according to God's will. What is going ahead of themselves? No, listen here. I said an Ishmael ministry usually starts like this. You know, Pastor, I feel the Lord has a plan for my life. And the Lord spoke to me to go start my ministry. And he said, I must go here now and do this and that and that and that. Lucifer spoke to you. And what can we as pastors do? Squat. Because you name tag God in it. God said, we cannot come against God, but we know you just entered your Ishmael. Because nowhere is God's order to went out. God's order is to send out. Jesus sent out his disciples. Paul was sent out. I remember when I was in ministry, there's one or two opportunities that came where I could have went out and I never did. I was even phoned up and they said, listen, we'll bless you. Don't you want to just go? I said, no, I'm not doing it like this. And I waited longer and longer and longer. And I said to the Lord, I will not leave unless I'm sent out. When I planted this church, I was waiting for God to speak to my leadership also about it. Not me informing them. But I said, if this is not of God, if this doesn't have any blessing on, I do not do it. But when it comes to entering my promise, which was ministry, which I ultimately started, I waited for the one. The Bible says, a child is a servant like all. And you cannot see the difference. Galatians chapter number 3 or 4, verse 1. You cannot see the difference between a child and a servant and a slave. Though he's the heir and master of all, you cannot see the difference until the appointed time that the Father sends him. And these are principles in church that people don't understand. So they don't understand then why is there not prosperity like there should be in my ministry? Why is there not provision like it should be? You might have little provision, Ishmael. Yet God has much planned for you. Are you guys with me? The moment we planted this church, this thing exploded. I mean, we are only in this building because we are saving, and trust me, we are saving big. But then we planted out of this Cape Town, we planted out of this Krugersdorp. Krugersdorp is our own building. It's growing there. Sometimes Krugersdorp is even more attended than this. But this happened in a matter of less than five, less, in fact, less than 4 years. Less than 5 years. Krugersdorp, Cape Town, and here. And you know, we are not struggling. We are full. We're not sitting more because the building is too small. And we can't have a second service at this moment. We first want to expand the building, and then we'll move into a second service. And but God has blessed us. God has blessed us. Trust me. When it comes to income with the church, we always need more because the more we can get quicker, the quicker we can build or buy. And to buy is going to be probably finished off 70, 80 million, depending what we buy. That's with all the interior. To build is going to be 120 million. So that is what we are working towards. And it might seem like an impossible goal for many. You know, we are getting there. And I believe we have to build a place that is excellent and that is going to be big, that is going to represent the prophetic, all over. I get invites really from all over. I turn so many invites. I just turned 2 invites down from the States this week again. I turned so many invites down because my goal is here, I believe, a prophet's ministry people will come to. Not he will really travel out. I do one or two or three things internationally, that's it. But a prophet's ministry people will come to, they hear about it and they come. So listen, where were we? So if you rolled this thing, so Jacob did something too quick, too soon. He stepped out of God's will that moment because he loved Rachel while God had a Leah for him. So you know, and then he began to work for Jacob. So let's carry on. So he gets to meet Jacob and so on. Let's go to verse 15. Verse 15. So he ended up kissing Rachel. That's just a greeting. She ran to Jacob, to Laban, to tell him. And now we see him ending up working for Laban. Let me read here. And Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, should thou be therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what shall your wages be? And Laban had 2 daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, the ugly one. And the name of the younger one was Rachel, the beautiful one. Leah was tender-eyed, which actually means weak-eyed, which actually means sore to the eyes to look at. Okay. But Rachel was beautiful. Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel. Listen, people are in love with their Rachels. And they wonder, why am I not getting the best that God has for me? They're in love with their Rachels, whether it is a business, whether it is a ministry, whether it is a certain professional area. There's something they love, yet God has something else planned for them. The problem is a Rachel is barren and will give you no children and will give you no fruits. Leah is the one that is fruitful. Let's still carry on. Are you guys with me? So welfare. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give it to you than to somebody else that I don't know. Abide with me. Say with me, abide with me. I need to get this thing through. Laban is representative of a church and a pastor. Leah is representative of the Spirit. Well, let me say it like this. Let me go a little bit deeper. Let me explain like this. Laban has 3 meanings. The church, the pastor, and it deals with your flesh. Are you guys with me? Leah, that's Laban. Leah represents the spirit. Rachel represents the soul. So there's something that your soul wants that is not from the Spirit of God. Your soul wants Rachel, But your Laban, which is the church and the pastor, will be, which means, Laban means this actually in the Hebrew, it means to clean and to sanctify. Which means it is the local church, the vineyard that Laban had, or the cattle, the farm, the land that Laban had that was being worked, was the church. It is in the church when Laban said, abide with me. It is God calling people to say, stay in the church until you are cleansed and ready to enter into getting your Leah. And with that, I'll bless you with a Rachel. Meaning that a Rachel is connected to your talent, is connected to your skill. A Leah is connected to nothing. Just stay with me. Are you guys with me? So a lot of people run off to their skill and their talent first. And what churches make a big mistake, they say, let's look at what gifts you have. What is the gifts of the Holy Spirit? Okay, what talent you have? Oh, you have a talent of playing piano. Wow, so that must be the spiritual gift. Worst mistake ever. Are you guys with me? Leah means ugly. Leah means weary, tired, and actual fact, it means cow. However you want to interpret that. That's what a name means. Rachel means beautiful, favored, and she's an ewe, and it means a lamb. Now there's a typology between cow and the lamb that I'm not going to get into. But Leah was everything that Jacob did not want. It was spiritual. It was his spirit. Your flesh and your spirit will war. Are you guys with me? But God will put you with a Laban to cleanse you. And Laban will say, abide with me here. Stay committed and be planted in the local church until you work your Leah. So the talent and the desire of your heart, I will then bless you with. But it will be intertwined because Jacob was married with both Leah and Rachel together. Rachel will never touch nations. Leah will touch nations. Rachel is barren. Leah is fruitful. If you only do your Rachel, you will win a few souls here, a few souls there, maybe a 10 here, even a 100 there. Once you get into your Rachel, you win thousands of souls. There's prosperity everywhere. You are in demand and doors begin to open for you all over the place. Why? You are in your Leah. Rachel is like just a little bit here, a little bit there. Are you guys with me? But Rachel is the passion we have. But that passion with Rachel will only give you a little bit of souls here or there, there. Leah gives you nations. But God will bless you with your Rachel once you know how to fall in love with your Leah, the ugly one. The Leah has no, but you have no talent, no skill to do your Leah. That is why you can win souls through your Leah. It is God saying that now I'm coming in with my ability. Now you're dying to yourself fully. You did your own thing, your own thing, your own thing, your own thing. Die to yourself. I mean, it was Pastor Gad, you went to Krugersdorp already. He had his own ministry. And I remember at that time, he said, but I've got partners. I said, wow, how many? He said, 2,000 rand a month. I'm sitting and I'm thinking. And he's like, but if I give them up, I'm not going to be able to survive. And I'm thinking, 2,000 rand a month. Gerard. I'm trying to get, now this was when he was 18 or 19 years old. So I'm trying to explain to him, just, it's not even a big thing to kill. It's almost dead. We just shoot it. Just, and then you come in to the incubator, into the secret place, and God will birth you with an Isaac. While you're holding on to your Ishmael, 2,000, maybe it'll go to 10,000 if you don't get taken out. 10,000. Once you touch your Rachel, once you touch your Leah, once you touch your Isaac, let me say it rather like this, from an Ishmael to an Isaac, you'll see millions without toil because now you're being born of the Spirit. Are you guys with me? So going through your Leah causes you to become born of the Spirit. And all of this is in relation to the local church. Whether you're in business, whether you have your own profession, the main ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ is to go and do the Great Commission for each believer. Go and make disciples. That is it. I don't care if you're a doctor. I don't care if you work in retail. I don't care if you have a business. Make disciples. That is a ministry that each one of us have. And it's the only thing that will stand one day. Not my business. My business will not stand in front of the Lord. Because my business is my Rachel. It is only my Leah that will stand in front of God. Are you guys with me? Rachel was Jacob's desire. Leah was God's desire. So I don't have much time. I want to quickly go through this, and I'm sure you're getting the thing. So he's serving her. So let's go to verse 21. And Jacob said unto, there's some things here. We need to fix that. And Jacob said unto Laban, give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled that I may go into her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening, and we have over 1,000 people watching right now. If you want to do us a favor, please, right now, everyone that's watching on YouTube, click the thumbs up button. Like this broadcast, it just assists us and help us with YouTube. And that will really, and let us know in the comments if you've done so. Thank you so much. Listen to this. Then I'm going to go into it. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and they made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him. And he went unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid, for a handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. Say with me, behold. That means when Jacob woke up, because obviously he was drunk. There were still other laws during that time. And I don't advocate drinking at all. But there was something going on. Okay, they had a feast. It was dark. Possibly they were drinking. I'm just saying, I can be... I'm not that big of a theologian, but it's just common sense. Okay. Huh? You know. So there was also times when they were actually commanded to have drink and so on. As Israel Jews, and that is not for you as the church, okay? But he, when he woke up, the Bible said with him, behold. Scripture says, behold, it was Leah, meaning he had a great revelation that he woke up with the ugly stepsister or the ugly one, which was called a cow, meaning a cow. He woke up with the one who was bad to look at. He worked 7 years for something that he never wanted, but that was God. God has this unique ability to make you work for something that you think you're going to get. But it is actually something that is his desire and his will. And it will feel like you're being deceived by God. Are you guys with me? So, behold was Leah, and he said to Laban, what is this thou done unto me? Did I not serve you for Rachel? Wherefore then thou hast beguiled me? And Laban said, I must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week. Meaning there was a celebration going on. He says, finish the celebration. So we finish the celebration. Say with me, finish the celebration, church. Okay, because this is important. He had to finish the celebration with her, and Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. And then he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. And Laban gave to Rachel, his daughter, Bilhah, his handmaid, to her maid. And he went in also unto Rachel. And he loved also Rachel more than Leah. This is a problem. He loved Rachel more than Leah. Because he loved Rachel more than Leah. Look at this, verse 31. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. The moment God sees you are still in love with that thing that you want, that thing that you desire, he's going to make that thing barren. You're going to go into that making no money. But it's my dream. Are you going to make no money? And then all of a sudden, doors are going to open up for the thing that you don't want. and provision and money is going to come through the thing that you don't want to do. Because God is saying, there's another desire I have for you. The flesh opposes the spirit, and the spirit opposes the flesh. Wars against the flesh. But if you die to your own will, like Jesus says, not my, let this cup pass, Lord, but not my will, but your will be done. Meaning, if I could choose, I would not take this cup, I would not go to the cross. But I lay down my will, I lay down my desire to pick up your will. No one, unless you die to yourself, the Bible says, you cannot be my disciple. Are you guys with me? Have your seats. So, and Leah conceived and bare Reuben, and she said, surely the Lord has looked upon my affliction. So listen to this. Signs of your Leah. Your Leah is what will bring your prophecy to pass. The prophecy that the Lord gave Jacob to say, I will give you land, Jacob. Do you guys remember? That prophecy will come to pass through Leah. And God will use a situation that feels like it's controlling you to bring your purpose. This church is controlling me. This church is not, they're not allowing me to do my ministry. They're not allowing me to be myself. I can't, you know, as somebody said to us, I don't feel there's place for my gift here. How about you die to your gift and you serve God? We are not a Democrat, liberal organization that we fear and have tolerance and everybody must be on the stage because that one is giving this look. No. This is a holy place. This is a holy altar. Whenever you see somebody taking this mic, it is because God told me so, and that is it. When you see us ordain somebody, it is a God told me so for years, and then they go through testing, and then we do it. Now people go out and they proclaim that they've been ordained by us or sent out by us. They are wolves and dogs. Anyway, if Jesus called somebody a dog, surely I can call somebody a dog. I'm following his example. So Jacob goes to Laban. Laban says to him, now you're going to work. Abide with me. And you get to a local church. Hey, now you're going to work. Now you're going to serve. Abide with me. Serve. And isn't it amazing that when Jacob came out of the tent, the Bible says he looked for Laban and couldn't find him. Isn't it amazing that when you go through problems, your pastor is never to be found? Because God is testing to see where is your heart at. And God ordains that it's just like you're going through the worst problem, but your pastor is not. Why is he not recalling me? Why is he not visiting me? Why is he not responding to me? Anyway, I'm going to do some pastoral visits the next 2-3 months, like for 3 months straight, just to, okay, help the offended ones. No, I'm joking. Really want to visit you and so on. But, he's just not here. His last 2-3 years, Leon wasn't here. Why was he not here? God will choose by his hand to do things to develop your process and your training, but people will kick against it. But it is there where your Leah is formed, so that one day you can step into a sanctified Rachel whose womb will be opened. Are you guys with me? So listen. So signs of your Leah. Say she is ugly. She is weak. She is everything you hated. She is given to you in the place of your Rachel. She is making you wait for your Rachel. She is reminding you every day that you don't have your Rachel. She's reminding you every day of everything you hate. She is the ugly sister, like I said earlier, that no one wanted. How to get into your Rachel promise? Say with me, how to get in. Number one, I'm going to go quickly through this. I want to give me 5 to 10 minutes. How to get into your promise? You have to understand this principle. If people don't understand the principle of Leah and Rachel, they will not know the seasons, times, and epochs that God has for them. And I'm not going to finish this morning. We're going to carry on tonight. Are you guys with me? Because I need to show you the offspring of Leah and Rachel, and how God opens up certain spiritual perception and takes us into a dimension where we are able to handle the prophecy that He has given us. Meaning, just because somebody prophesies over you that you're going to be an evangelist or a prophet or a land, you're going to have land or businesses, it doesn't mean it has to come to pass or is going to come to pass. Your character has to be shaped and formed to be able to carry the glory that comes with it. Your light has to change to be able to attract the angel that is needed. When you look at presidents, presidents don't have angels, they have principalities. Why do you think it feels like when you stand next to a president, like you're shaking? Even though you're more confident than him, everything, but it feels like you're, because there's a principality that is standing next to him. Are you guys with me? And as men of God grows in their office, they are given even principalities as they are growing, and that takes usually 30 years, 40 years, so they can become a judge over a certain nation or a region or an area, and they are given a principality, but relative to the word that they have in them. The Bible says, by the opening up of my words, I bring light. Light enters. It is the entrance of light. So the way you get into the word, and God will take people, you're not going to just wake up one day with light, but somebody that is for 20 years, every single day in the word, reading the word, studying the word, reading it, they'd say 2 hours dedicating to it. Listen here, give that person a few years, you will battle to be in their presence. Money will find their way to them. But you know what it is? This word cannot be opened with carnal hands. So the moment I am carnal and I try to open this word, I will read it and it will automatically begin to close and I won't even know. And then 3 hours later I realize, oh, I didn't read the word again. Without grace, without God pulling me to Him, I cannot come to Him. Without Him drawing me to Him, I cannot even pray. I cannot read the word. Without Him opening up this word to me, it is closed to me. I showed you in a physical sense, but spiritually it's the same. You can read the scripture, nothing happens. You might as well read Harry Potter. Nothing happens. Some people even create wars out of this Bible. Somebody uses it for justification as racism, for slavery, all this stuff, abuse. So, but if it now opens to me, it draws me to it. So how do I get to a place of it opening for me? Number one, God has created the local church where I serve. The moment I serve, and I haven't even gotten into this, we're going to get into it deeper tonight regarding Leah and Rachel and the promises and so on. There's something that opens up in me. There's the anointing that comes on me. And I'm able to be seen, my eyes open, and I'm able to see things differently. And all of a sudden, I might have been alone and tried to be so spiritual, and I had no hunger for the word. All of a sudden, I find myself in the local church. I'm serving, giving my all. I'm being discipled, and I'm working towards discipling others, already discipling others. And all of a sudden, there's this deep hunger and thirst for the word inside of me, and prayer inside of me, and spiritual things inside of me. And I don't know where it's coming from. It is because you have found yourself in Laban's fields. Are you guys with me? You got committed in a place where God can work now on your spirit, and He can begin to put a hunger and thirst in your spirit. Listen to me. The local church is so important. In fact, it's one of the most important things regarding your personal development. It is here where you find a place to serve, being discipled. It is impossible to do anything for the Lord without being discipled. I know that is a tough one, but as our next series, we're going to get into those things. You can never do feats for the Lord or never enter your calling unless you've been discipled. A lot of people think they've been discipled and they were not. The marks of somebody that has been discipled is someone that is discipling. I'm going to say it again. The marks of somebody that has been discipled is someone that is constantly discipling others. It is silence. It is no amen. But how fruitful is my life as a Christian? Because, you know, for years we come and we preach the deepest revelation to you. And we preach spiritual things and dimensions and revelations. And we go into the first, the second, the third, the fourth dimension, the nine orders of angels. We go into the seven kingdoms and the consciousness of the kingdoms. And trees have ears to hear, and plants have, and the sun and the moon has ears to hear and mouths to speak. And all these things are great. And we take it out of scripture, and money can hear and money can talk. The Bible says money answers everything. Answers all things. So money can speak. But how much fruits am I bearing? How much lives are being changed through the gospel, through my life? How many people are serving God because I choose to be discipled? Now, this message is not popular. It might even cause people to leave our church because, Leon's message changed. And it's not so, you know, the anointing isn't so strong anymore. No. It was just emotional previously for you because you liked it. The anointing is given to you to give away. And if you don't have anyone to give it away to, God will not give it to you. So the more you can give it away, the more He will give it to you. So the more you get into a place where you can be discipled, He will give it to you so that you can disciple others. Leah puts you in a place of the field and the farm and the land where you can work, where you can abide in the local church. Laban will give you that, so that you can receive your Leah. It is ugly. It is washing the toilet. It is running an e-group. It is changing nappies of those in the e-group. Dealing with people that want to take offense, but you're serving. What is happening? You're building a record and a legacy in heaven. And God is saying, I'm about to release to you a Rachel that is coming. And even though you married Rachel, her womb is not yet opened. But her womb will be open and she will give birth to Joseph and I think Benjamin. Joseph and Benjamin. But Joseph and Benjamin won't really do anything. It is Judah by which the lineage of Jesus Christ came out of, which means Christ came out of Leah. He didn't come out of Rachel. Rachel was simply a desire of Jacob. Are you guys with me? It is a blessing that God gives you. It is an anointing He puts on your desire. But He's saying, now I want to bless you with your desire. But what does it take? It takes me to die to my own desire, die to my own flesh, die to my own ministry, and serving the will of God. Because in there is rewards in heaven and rewards on this earth. Your prosperity is with Leah. Stand to your feet where you are. Stand to your feet. I haven't finished. We're going to carry on tonight. To show you how to get into your Rachel and what it will do. And we're going to pray for importation. We're going to prophesy and so on and get into one or two other things. Raise your hands for me where you are, church. Father, may the anointing rest on them. May the power of God be their portion. May you be their shield. May you be their inheritance. May your face shine upon them. May your glory be with them. May this word take root in their hearts. Father, I pray, let no devil, let no spirit bird steal these words. Let the message of Laban, Leah, and Rachel be embedded into their spirits, engraved into their spirits, crypted into their spirits. Let this be a message and a series born of the Spirit to help them enter the call of God for their lives. Let the anointing rest upon them. Let the power of God rest upon them. We give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory in Jesus' name. Come on, let's give him a praise offering.